Turn with me, please, to the book of Job, chapter 33. Job, chapter 33. And shall we read, please, from verse 12. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon man, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of man and sealeth their instruction, that he might with purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned, and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Now God will bless his word that we have been hearing. And we have heard enough gospel from the New Testament scriptures that have been read that anyone would have no difficulty in getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. What's upon my mind to notice with you is a few things from this book of Job that reminds us that God deals so often with mankind and yet there's so little response. And I believe that in these present gospel meetings, there have been times when God, through His Spirit, has been dealing with men and women, with young people and older ones as well. And God has a desire to withdraw man from His purpose. I don't know what your purpose is tonight. I mean the purpose of your life. But it would appeal to me that from what we have read, man's purpose is to keep God out of his life, to go his own way, and perhaps to end in heaven if it's possible. Now, I know that there's a lot of people, and they're not very serious about eternal things. They don't seem to understand that at the end of the journey, it's heaven or hell forever. They don't seem to take it in, that these things are matters that have to do with an eternity that is never, never, never going to end. And as we've said many nights before, you have a soul that is going to live as long as God Almighty lives, as long as God sits on the circle of the heavens, upon His throne. That soul of yours will exist eternally, either in heaven above or in hell beneath. Now, friend, your highest wisdom and your greatest, most important task tonight is to make sure that your soul is saved for eternity. We've been hearing something about that, the importance of getting the matter of your soul salvation settled. And I hope there's someone here, and you've made up your mind. I'm going to settle that matter. I'm going to settle it tonight. I'm going to make sure that I know that I will never be in hell. I think every one of us that ever got saved, there came a time in our experience. I don't intend to tell my conversion tonight. I can't say I won't because I sometimes get at it. But I'll never forget that Lord's Day morning on the 16th day of April in 1939, a poor sinner bound for hell, when I wanted salvation more than anything in this world. And I didn't care about the young people that were sitting at the other side, there alongside me, watching what was going on. I didn't care if anyone saw me weep. I didn't care if anyone saw me concerned about that matter. I wanted salvation, and I wanted it right now. And I knew. I just had that knowledge that if anything happened to me, my soul would be in hell forever, and I wanted to get that matter settled. Now, friend, I hope you have determined in your mind that you are going to settle this matter of your soul's eternal welfare. When I read this portion in Job chapter 33, I see a number of things here. I see man's condition, because we're told that he's striving against God. I see man's course, the way that men and women are going. I see the confession of an honest heart, if any shall say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right. Then I see the possibility of his being converted or saved by the grace of God. Then he is gracious and saith unto him, saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Now, we've been hearing tonight about the ransom. We've been hearing about the one that died on Calvary to put away sin. And friend, tonight we don't want you to leave this meeting without understanding that there was one who can meet the need of your soul by the work that he accomplished on the cross when he suffered and bled and died for sin. That was what impressed me the most when I got saved. For like so many young people raised in under the sound of the gospel, my difficulty was believing. My difficulty was coming. My difficulty was accepting. And all the terms that preachers used and others used to tell me how I could get saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I believed it all. At least I thought I did. But that Sunday morning, I got a sight of a man. Instead of looking in here and trying to believe and trying to come, I got a sight of a man who was dying for sinners at Calvary. And when I got a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, dying upon the cross, and I was asking my heart the question, why was he there? It dawned on my dark soul, reading Isaiah 53 and 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. It dawned on my dark soul that the reason that he was there was to put away my sin. And I must admit, at that moment, I never had a thought about believing, or a thought about coming, or a thought about accepting. Why, I saw it that Jesus died for me. Friend, salvation is as simple as that when you're willing to see that the work was finished at Calvary, and all you have to do is just take that finished work, make it your own, because he died for our sins upon the cross, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. The condition of man that we read about here, striving against God. And the question was asked of Job, it's asked of you tonight. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. Why is it that when God goes to infinite expense and works time and time again with men and women to make them stop and think about eternal things and to bring them to the place where they'll understand their need of the Savior, they fight against them? I know that you say, well, I've come to the meeting. I'm not fighting against God. Well, you'd be saved tonight if you're not fighting against God. Why dost thou strive against him? How do people strive against him? Well, it says here that he might withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. And one of the things that you're fighting against God with is the fact that you're too proud to acknowledge, oh God, I am a guilty sinner, I deserve to be in hell. And I've often said, and I would say it again tonight, there isn't a saved person in our gospel meeting. There is not a believer that would not acknowledge if they had what they deserved, they would be in hell. If you're professing to be a believer and you don't think that, then pardon me, but you're not a believer. You have never been born again. Because every person that ever got God's salvation understood that if they had what they deserved, they'd be in hell. That's what I should have had. But I saw that there was one who bore my sins at Calvary. And friend, tonight, pride, Spurgeon called it damnable pride. And the reason he did was because there's souls that are down in hell tonight because of a little bit of pride. He used to say, why be damned? For a little bit of pride. Too proud to acknowledge, oh God, I am guilty, I am a sinner. And here are men and women fighting against God, dealt with by God. God trying to withdraw man from his purpose. You know, I don't know the idea that some people get that God is some monster up there, and he just wants to send them down to hell, that he wants to punish people, and because of all these things that happen in the world around us, they say, how could God allow this to happen and allow that to happen? And they blame everything upon God that they can't find an answer for. My friend, God's purpose is to withdraw you from your purpose. And God would try to stop you and make you think solemnly and seriously about your soul and where you're going to be. And I'm convinced of this, that everything that happens in your life, God allows it for a purpose. If you're not saved, and if you're a believer, he allows it for a purpose too. But if you're not saved, he allows those things to happen to make you stop and consider where you'll be in eternity. I talked to a man one time when we had our gospel boat way up in St. Anthony. Perhaps I mentioned it before. But he came aboard the boat after we had had a gospel service at the wharf there in St. Anthony. We asked him his name. He said his name was Mr. Elms. I said, Mr. Elms, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Are you born again? He said, yes, I am. And he said, I'm thankful to God that I got saved. And he told me how long ago he got saved. And I remembered being in the city of Corner Brook at the time, at the year that he told me that he had got saved. And I said, Mr. Elms, would you be any relation of a man called Gus Elms that I knew in Corner Brook? And the man almost broke down in tears. He said, do you know this? My son, Gus Elms, lived in Corner Brook. And he said, up until the accident that happened to my son, he said, I never stopped to think about my soul and where I would spend eternity. He said, that's when I got serious about my soul. I said, was that the fire in which your son was burned? He said, yes, it was. And one of our brethren, two of our brethren, in fact, were going down Country Road in Corner Brook, and they saw the smoke and the fire begin to break out the windows of a store building with a home on top of it. And so they tried to help. And a man came down to one of the windows, and there was a big truck there, And one of the brethren got up on the back of the truck and the other one down below, and the man passed one of the children down from the window to the man in the truck, and the child was saved. And the man went back and he brought another child and passed another one down. But the fire was engulfing the building, and they said, you better not go back into the building. And a woman was out at the front. It was his wife, and she was screaming. She was losing control because the place was on fire. And Gus went back in to get another one of those children. And just when he did, the interior of the building that had been burning collapsed down into the basement. And Gus Elms lost his life with one of the children in that fire. His father told me, he said, I never really stopped to think about my soul until that awful accident happened. And he said, I began to realize we're not going to be here forever. I wonder where I'll be when I'm gone. I wonder where Gus is gone. And he said, I got down to business about it until, he said, I found out that there was salvation for a sinner like me. And he said, I trusted Christ as my Savior. Now, friend, the reason I tell you some of these incidents is to make you understand that God will allow things to happen in your life to bring you to that place where you'll be willing to acknowledge Christ as your Savior. We said one night already in the past that if the ordinary means of preaching the gospel does not awaken you and does not get you to stop and think about your soul, God might have to use extraordinary means. And God often does that very thing. He uses extraordinary means so oftentimes to make people stop and think. Stop, poor sinner, the poet says. Stop and think. Ere you further go, how can you sport upon the brink of everlasting woe? Hell from beneath is gaping wide. Vengeance calls the dread command, soon to stop thy sport and pride, and sink you with the damned. Time to stop, sinner. Time to stop and consider solemnly and seriously, where will I be 5 minutes after I die? Stop striving against God. Stop fighting against it. That's why I often like to give out that hymn. The last verse says, let your will to God be given. Trust in Christ's atoning blood. You see, the will, it just seems as though man's will is pitted against God. And God says, why dost thou strive against him? God doesn't have to explain himself, but friend, God is trying to stop you and make you think. He speaketh once, yea, twice. And man perceiveth it not. I think I mentioned one time, we're hearing about warnings. I was traveling through Wisconsin, I think it was. And on that highway, you came to a bend in the highway, and a great big sign, I don't know whether they're still there, big sign said, 3 died here. And a little further along, I came to a railway crossing, and another great big sign there, and in big black letters, 5 died here. And I heard that people didn't like those signs very much, because people didn't want to be warned about death. They should put a few signs like that along the number 1 here. Seems as though every day you hear about somebody that's ushered out into eternity. Friend, one of these days your turn's going to come. Maybe God will have to speak to you. I'm sure I mentioned before that there's at least 2 individuals in this company tonight that were spoken to by God 5 years ago when we were here, when they saw an accident up at the corner here, and God brought them to a standstill. And that night one got saved, and the next day another got saved. Now, friend, listen. These things are too serious and too solemn just to shelve and say, not just now. I'll get the matter settled sometime. Give me just a little longer, for the world looks now so bright. When I feel that I am dying, I'll get saved. But not tonight. Now, friend, salvation is for you now. What is your course? What does it say here? Going down to the pit. Going down to the pit. Mr. Hugh Walker that I told about one night, whom God saved 10 years after he had promised his father that he would meet him in heaven. That same night that God was dealing with him, and he was there to hear Harry Lauder. And he was reminded that 10 years before his father, he had promised his father he'd meet him in heaven. He used to tell us when he was passing along to go into that building, there was a sign to the seating area down below, and it said, this way to the pit. this way to the pit. And he thought to himself, the Spirit of God just riveted on his soul. That's where I'm going. This way to the pit. Now, friend, it's a solemn thing to be going down. It says here, deliver him from going down to the pit. You know, going, that's the just motion. You're moving, you're going on. And time is running out. Not only do we have motion, but we have direction. You're going down. And until you get down to business, friend, you're going to reach your destiny. You're going to land in the pit. And I hope it burns into your soul tonight that you can't sleep when you think about it. Going down to the pit. I tell you, it's a solemn business. Young man, 17 years of age, up on the west coast of Newfoundland, in a little place near Flowers Cove, mother and father, both Christians in the assembly there. And young Ashley rose. He went out one night about 10 o'clock, told his father he was going to take the snowmobile and go down the road a little piece, and he'd be back shortly. And the father told him to be careful and not to be very long. And he went about 4 or 5 miles to a place where a lot of his buddies gathered in a, I don't know what kind of a place it was. It was just a store where they used to get together and talk and drink pop and one thing and another. Maybe there were other things, I don't know. Ashley had heard the gospel like some of the young men here have heard it. And it got to be a little later, about 11 o'clock, and his father was a little worried he wasn't back. So his father went looking for him. In the meantime, some of the boys said, we've got the car tonight. Leave your snowmobile here, and come on, we'll go for a ride in the car. You can go. We'll bring you back. You can take your machine back when we come. And 4 or 5 of them jumped into the car. And away they went down the road. And of course, like young men sometimes do, carelessly and recklessly, in some pretty bad bends in that road, and they had to stop for something. Ashley was sitting in the front seat, and for some reason, when he got out for a minute, one of the other boys jumped in where he was, and so he got into the back seat. And then when they took off again, there was another friend of theirs riding on another skidoo, another snowmobile, and they were racing down the road, 60 miles an hour. Some of those machines can go pretty fast. And when Ashley looked out, he saw the girl that he had been interested in sitting on the back of that skidoo, and he was sort of upset. But the man that was driving wasn't paying attention. When they came around one of the bends, there was some black ice, and the car took a swerve. And it went off into a telephone pole. And the telephone pole struck right at the door where Ashley was sitting. If he'd been in the front seat, he might have been hospitalized for a while, but he might not have died. Ashley rose. By the time the ambulance got there to take him to the hospital, Ashley Rose was breathing his last, and he went out to meet God. Warmed, time and time again. Oh, friend, I want to tell you, it's too solemn and serious a business to play fast and loose with. Your soul is at stake tonight. I wonder, is there one who is willing to say, I have sinned? That's what God is waiting for. That confession, I have sinned. I know that I'm not right with God. I know I deserve judgment for my sin. What does he say? He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, then he is gracious. That's when the word comes. And oh, it's a gracious word. That's his love. My friend, the grace of God toward sinners. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, the grace of God. Then he is gracious and saith, deliver him. Deliver him. That's his power. My friend, he has power to deliver. Power to save tonight. We can't save anybody. I don't know. But there are times in gospel meetings like this that you wish you could just come down and take a dear soul by the hand and lead them to the cross. Friend, all we can do is tell you that there's a man who died for your sins at Calvary, and he wants to save you tonight. And he has the power to save, the power to forgive sins. His precious blood was shed, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Then he is gracious and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. My friend, the ransom has been found. The payment has been made. Pardon is there for you tonight. It's found at Calvary, where the Lord Jesus suffered and bled and died. And friend, salvation is full, free, and eternal tonight. A pardon for sinners, forgiveness for sinners, satisfaction can all be found in the person of the Lord Jesus who died for you upon the cross. I wonder if there's a soul here and you'll make your choice for Christ. I can't help but think sometimes I used to hear Mr. Harris tell about a man, about Dr. Wilson. I've read it myself. Dr. Wilson was a Christian doctor. One day, he was dealing with a young man. His name was Albert. He had tried to do his best for him, but Albert had been in an accident and he was dying. And Dr. Wilson went in and saw him, told him his serious condition, because he wanted to know. He said, you won't likely last out the night. But he said, Albert, Christ died for you on the cross, and he told them of a Savior's love, told them of a God who gave his Son to die for sinners, went over the story of the cross with them, and appealed to them to get right with God. And Albert said, Doctor, I'll think about it. He got down, he was on his way home that night, got down to the door of the hospital, and he couldn't get Albert off his mind. And he made another trip back up to his room again, and he appealed to him once more. He said, Albert, he said, it's time to get right with God. You might not be here in the morning. He said, Doctor, I'll think about it. And the next morning, when the doctor came in, of course, the first thing he did was to check with one of the nurses about Albert. Well, she said, you know, what happened to Albert? The early hours of the morning, Albert slipped away. He's gone. You see, Albert died thinking about it. And I fear that there's going to be some, and you have intentions to get saved. Don't die thinking about it. Settle it tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God help you to do it, for his name's sake. So we pray. Father, we thank thee for the privilege again of sounding out the warning note and of telling men and women and young people the simple way of salvation. We thank thee, Father, for the words of the Lord Jesus when he could say, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death unto life. We pray that there might be someone here in our present company, who will make that choice tonight for the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come by simple faith and trust the Savior. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we pray, Lord, that there might be those who will come savingly to our Lord Jesus and trust Him even tonight. Now we would commend us to Thee, take us to our homes in safety, and above all, we do pray that there might be those who will not put off this matter, but will trust the Savior. Father, we pray thy blessing Grant us this, we beseech of thee, and we give thee thanks in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'll just sing a little before we go. 129. 129 is a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord where the call of His Spirit is lost. You hurry along with a pleasure-mad throng. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Though you gain the whole world for your own, even now, it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted the cost? Now the time is gone. We'll just sing the last verse and the chorus of 129. The meeting will be over.